Hello and welcome to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So I am actually recording this podcast in Portugal at the moment. I'm on a fitness retreat. So I did say in the previous podcast I was going to pre-record it, but life got in the way and I didn't get a chance. So I brought my laptop with me. Now I am situated beside a road. So if you can hear noise in the background, it's just trucks going by and I'm recording this on my MacBook microphone. So I don't have my recording equipment with me. But it seems to be doing the job so far anyway. So this episode is called Designing Your Program, all right? So let's say you aren't in a position to afford a coach at the moment and you want to design your own program and you probably don't know where to start. So that's what this episode is here to help you with today. So we're going to start off with, what's your goal? Is your goal to build muscle and lose body fat? So if it's one or the other, is it to build muscle? Okay, probably not the best time to sign up for a marathon, all right? Because it's a lot of running. Doing a marathon is a lot of running, like excessively running. And then you're going to be lifting as well. Like you're going to be burning so much calories, so many calories that you're not going to have enough fuel to build muscle as well. Like it's kind of counterproductive. So for example, have you ever seen someone run a marathon that's built like the Hulk? No, because, you know, running, training for marathons, like you burn so much energy. You need so much energy. And yes, you have to have an awful lot of food and an awful lot of carbs, but you're burning it off by practicing for these runs and then taking part in the actual marathon itself. So if your goal is to build muscle, a significant amount of muscle, like let's say you're a woman and you want to build big glutes and, you know, a nice back to give you that hourglass shape, running a marathon simultaneously is probably not the best idea. So maybe, you know, run the marathon and then maybe afterwards in your off season, then you can build muscle. All right, that's probably the best advice I could give to someone who's in that position. Like, you know, people can build muscle and run marathons, but you know, it's you're not going to build a significant amount of muscle. That's all I'm saying. You know, you're going to burn an awful lot of body fat, and yes, you're going to have muscle when you burn that body fat. But again, if your goal is to like build bigger glutes, build a bigger back, you need to zone in on that and you need to focus on that, and that needs to be your priority. So yeah, if you are a runner, that's all I'm saying. Maybe you're not a runner, then that's perfect. If your goal is to build muscle though, this is probably a good podcast for you, because if someone came along to me, like a potential client, and said that you were training for a marathon but they wanted to build big glutes, I'm like, look, come back to me when you finish the marathon. So that's all I'm saying about that, because they're two different machines, they're two different breeds, and I'd rather you focus on one and not both, because it's a lot of stress on the body, and near impossible as well. So how many days can you train? That's the next question you should ask yourself. Like obviously the more the better, it's optimal for muscle growth, but there's nothing wrong with training, you know, like 2 to 3 days a week or even twice a week. Like not like once is better than none. Okay, so that's my advice on that. Ideally we want to train each muscle group 2 to 3 times a week. Okay, so just because, you know, you're doing a squat and that works the quads, that doesn't mean that you only do squats. Like there's so many other exercises that works the quads as well. So I'm going to get into that now in a minute. So 2 to 3 times a week on each muscle group is optimal. Obviously the more the better as well, but again, once is better than none. But it's just going to be at an awful lot of a slower rate. Sorry, I am mixing my words up big time today. It's just going to be at a slower rate if you can't train that muscle optimally, like 2 to 3 times a week. It can be done, but it's just going to be slower as opposed to if you could train more than 3 times, you know. So they say research shows that if you do 10 sets on a muscle group, it's probably going to get you to where you want to be an awful lot quicker, okay, in terms of muscle growth. So let's say hip thrusts is really good for your glutes. Like you're not going to do 10 sets of hip thrusts in the one day. Like, okay, you would literally be left with no glutes, all right? You'd be like absolutely wrecked. It wouldn't be possible, and you'd just drive yourself into the ground. So what do? You break up the 10 sets for your glutes across the week. So that doesn't mean that you just have to do hip thrusts. Like you could do a Bulgarian split squat, which is also great for your glutes. There's another exercise that I'm thinking of, like you could do glute kickbacks, something like that. So for example, I train 5 days a week, okay, and I have nearly about 15 sets on my glutes, but they're broken up across the week. So, you know, if I could only train for 3 days, that's like 5 sets on my glutes per day if I wanted to really grow my glutes, you know. So that could be like two sets on a hip thrust and then three sets on a Bulgarian split squat on day one. And then I could do another exercise for my glutes. It's just to keep it interesting too, but we do want to stick to the compounds, like the ones that do garner the best results. Squats are really good. Squats in general, barbell squats, goblet squats are really good for your glutes too. So, you know, if I had to do 15 sets of my glutes, like that's a really, really good range across the week. So again, if I was doing 2 days, then, you know, I'd probably do 7 sets of my glutes on one day, 8 sets on the next day. But they all don't have to be on the same exercise, and I wouldn't recommend that. So you'd break it up and to just keep it interesting, you know, like 3 sets on a squat, 4 sets on a hip thrust. And then whatever exercise you want to work on in regards to maybe your quads, you know, like you could do a heel elevated goblet squat, which is going to garner your quads more. A heel elevated barbell squat, which is going to bias your quads more as well. So little things like that, okay? Like it's just been proven that the more sets, the better, basically. But it doesn't mean that you have to do 12 sets on the one muscle group in one day using the one exercise, all right? Because that's just mental and it's kind of boring and tedious. So moving on to the next point, I have a list here in front of me. So what are the best moves to include? So you want to keep it simple, all right? Don't overcomplicate with all these like exercises. We are doing like 3 exercises and the one move and all. Like, we need to keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it with these mad movements that you see online, or, you know, you see all these coaches do, like they're making millions off selling books and stuff. Like, just keep it simple. Like the basics, the compound movements, okay? So your compound movements would be your hip thrust, your squat, your lunge, your deadlift, your back extension, shoulder press, incline bench press. Incline bench press is a push exercise, okay? And so is a shoulder press. So that's where you're pushing weight away from your body, all right? So your chest, shoulders. Incline bench is probably better for women, and I'll tell you why, because it trains the lower chest. Whereas like a flat bench where you're lying on your back and you are pushing a barbell over your chest, that's more for the upper chest. So men are going to benefit from that more because you can see their upper chest, okay? The flat bench is for the lower chest, sorry, and the incline bench press is for the upper chest. And men benefit more from the flat bench because you can see their lower chest, whereas breast tissue is actually covering women's lower chest. So why not train and, you know, optimize the incline bench press, which aims for the upper chest? And that's something you can see, and it gives that full look to your chest, you know, especially when you've dropped an awful lot of body fat and you can see your collarbone. It really makes your chest pop. And you're wearing a sports bra and stuff, or, you know, you're wearing like a bikini, a strapless bikini on holiday, or like a strapless dress and stuff. Like, that's where that movement really pays off, if you drop body fat and build muscle. So that's why I recommend the incline bench press, okay? Your shoulder press, brilliant for your shoulders. Like, when you train properly, when you actually train your whole body like fully proportioned, it gives that illusion of the hourglass look, okay? Because if you're just focused on your legs, it's gonna look out of proportion, which is like, you know, vice versa for men. They always focus on their upper body, but never their legs. Not all men. Some men do have really, really good legs and focus on leg day a lot. But I just think women should, you know, focus on full body rather than just focusing on their legs all the time. Now, I only do one push day a week, and I would do a lot of sets in that day, like I was speaking about previously, because I only do one push day, but women only probably need one push day. Whereas their legs, like, women really, really benefit with their legs because, you know, we have, I suppose, not the genetics, but the gift of having, you know, I suppose, to be able to grow a nice bum and look and, like, you know, fuller legs and stuff. So why not take advantage of that? But again, training your whole body is beneficial, not just one part of it, okay? So just to go over that, so the basics, compound movements. A compound movement is, they do say it's where you're using more than 2 joints. So if you're doing a squat, that's a compound movement because you're pushing your hip back, you're using your hip joint, and you're bending your knees, your knee joint, okay? And a deadlift, so you're pushing your hip back as well and you're bending your knees. Shoulder press, you're using your elbow joint and your shoulder joint. Incline bench press, you are using your shoulder joint and your elbow joint as well. And then your lateral raise, so you're using your, they say like compound is like, you know, where you are recruiting more than one joint, But it's also the same with muscles, okay? They say like it's to do with the joints, but when you're lifting away, if you're pushing away, you're pulling away, they say like, you know, it's nothing to do with recruiting more than one muscle, but it is. Like your body is using more than one muscle when it's doing a compound movement. They say it's to focus on two joints, but it's not. It's you definitely recruiting around muscles around the body, no matter what exercise you're doing, okay? So they used to say it was for muscles and now it's joints, but I genuinely think it's a mix of both. So you're using both joints, more than one joint, and you are using multiple muscles as well. Now, an isolation movement, that would be like a bicep curl, okay? So, you know, you see lads do bicep curls, you see women do bicep curls as well. Biceps, doing bicep curls, they're really important because they help you with your pull exercises for back, okay? So your lateral, your lat pull down, your bent over row, like they're compound movements. And, you know, doing isolation movements, you can do them on your leg, like a hamstring curl is an isolation movement. You're isolating those muscles. And what happens when you isolate them is you make them stronger by themselves. So when you are recruiting that muscle for a compound exercise, it just means you have that extra strength. Like, you know, you have muscles all over the body now that are just benefiting from being isolated in other workouts. And they just fall hand in hand. So just focus on the basics. Do your compounds at the start of your workout and then lead your isolations to the end, because you're going to need more energy at the start of your workout, and your compound movements, like, recruit more energy. Like, you need more energy to push because you want to be getting, you know, personal bests on them, because you're recruiting more than one muscle doing those exercises. So it's kind of like a bang for your buck. And then your isolation movements at the end, yes, you are going to be a little bit tireder, but they're probably going to tire out that bit quicker. And you're doing your isolation exercises, and I know that sounds like kind of like contradictory. Well, you know, you're saying that like doing isolation exercises are going to help me with my compounds in the long run. They will. You're still training at the end of the workout, and you know, in 3 or 4 months time when they've grown, they're going to help you with your compound movements, which you do at the start of your workout. This sounds really complicated. I know it is. So if you have to go back and listen, do. But yeah, just to reiterate once again, focus on the basics, your compounds, hip thrust for your glutes, squat for your hamstrings, quads and glutes, your deadlift for your back and your quads too, your lunges for your quads and your glutes, your shoulder press for your shoulders, your incline bench for your chest, and you know, your lat pull down for your back, your wider back, do your bent over row, your middle back, and then your isolation movements can be like your lateral raises, your bicep curls and tricep push down, okay? So we'll move on from that. So this is a lot to take in, I apologize. And if you're still with me, if you can hear trucks going by in the background, I do appreciate it. This is not the ideal setting, but I like being consistent with my podcasts. So we're just gonna move on to the next point now, okay? So I'm gonna basically go through a couple of questions that come into my DMs a lot about programming. So what's the best split? So usually it's based on your goal, but also what suits you too, okay? But I'm going to try to explain what way you would split. So let's say you could train for 2 days. I would recommend doing full body. If this is if you're a female, I would recommend doing full body day one, rest day, and then legs, okay? So when a full body, that means you're covering your push day, your pull day, and legs as well. And then second day, you are covering just legs, all right? So you're training your upper body once a week, and then you're training your legs twice, okay? So women would benefit from that split. 3 days, let's say you could train for 3 days, you would do upper day, so that your back and your chest muscles and shoulder muscles and your arms obviously, and then day two is lower day, your legs, and then day three is lower again, okay? So you're training your upper body once and then two lowers, all right? And then 4 days. So let's say you could train for 4 days, you would do a full body day one. Day two could be your back and lower. Day three would be lower again, and day four would be lower again. This is if you're a female, okay? So like even myself, I have a lot of legs in my program because I'm a female. Whereas, you know, if you're a lad, it would focus more on upper body and you'd probably only do 1 to 2 leg days a week. Same way, you know, me being a woman, I would only do 1 push day. Now, look, it's personal preference as well. You might want to grow your upper body and you might explain that to your coach and they could implement that as well. But for me, this is a generic kind of split I'm explaining. If you could train for 5 days, so this is similar to what I do, a lower day, a push day, back and lower, and then the fourth day would be lower, and then the fifth day would be back and lower again, okay? So like they would have similar movements each day, but you know, the sets could change, and then the exercises targeting that muscle can change too. Like I said, you try to keep it interesting. I could do about 15 sets on my glutes spaced across the week, but you know, they're broken up into different exercises to keep it interesting as well, and to target different parts of the muscle, because you know, our glutes aren't just one muscle, they're broken up into like three pieces, and each glute exercise you do might target a specific area, so you want to focus on that too, like, because they can look out of proportion. Like, don't neglect muscle groups because of how you might look. Like, you might think, oh, you know, I'm gonna look bulky if I lift weights. Like, there's lads out there who have to take steroids because they can't even get bulky, okay? So women don't have as much testosterone as men do, whereas men have the gift of extra testosterone. So that's how they do look bulky anyway, you know, that's how they can build muscle quicker. And if you ever notice when you're in a spin class, men, if you look at the screen in the spin class, if you're wearing like a heart rate monitor, the lads in the class, you'll see, will burn nearly double the amount of calories as women because they have more muscle than women. And if you have more muscle, you're going to burn more calories, okay? So that's the reason for that. But again, don't be, you know, paranoid that you're going to look bulky. If you haven't lost any body fat and you are, like, you know, pushing extremely hard in the gym with weights, like, you will look bulky. But if you drop body fat, you're going to look toned then, you know? So it's kind of trying to have a happy medium. But if you are lifting weights in the gym, you're probably going to drop body fat in a calorie deficit or at maintenance, depending on how hard you're working. If you are at maintenance, you could be in a small calorie deficit just through working out alone. But remember, we don't go to the gym and lift weights to burn calories. We go to build muscle. That's what our cardio and our steps are for, okay? And then our calorie deficit, that's what's going to get rid of the body fat. But yeah, if you are dropping body fat and building muscle simultaneously, that's a lot easier for a beginner. Whereas like someone who's more experienced, they kind of have to build and then go into a fat burning phase. But yeah, if you are a beginner, you kind of have that advantage. But yeah, women, to look like that, they would have to take steroids. So you won't look bulky. If anything, it's going to give you that hourglass look. You know, if you're training each part of your body a significant amount, you know, you're going to have like that kind of like not slim waist look, but if you have a wider back and bigger glutes, it is going to give that illusion of the hourglass look, okay, where it makes you look like you have a slim waist. Whereas if you're just training legs, it's just going to be out of proportion, okay? So moving on to the next point, being in a constant calorie deficit, you're not going to grow anything, okay? Calorie deficits are for dropping body fat, not building muscle. So that's why you can't pour from an empty cup. Like, don't expect to build your glutes if you're dieting. What you do is you could drop body fat first. Okay, let's have a look at your frame now that you've dropped a significant amount of body fat. Let's see where you could improve on. Okay, this is why before pictures are really important when you start with a coach. They might look at your glutes or your upper body and be like, okay, we need to grow your back more. We need to do this, we need to do that. You've already dropped body fat now. We can get a clean cut look at you. Let's go into a building phase. Focus on more sets on your back. Focus on more sets on your glutes, more volume, etc. And then I don't really think you need to work on your arms, but we'll throw a few exercises in there anyway. But we'll focus more on the areas that need work. And because again, we don't want to be neglecting muscle groups. We do want to focus more on our own stuff, but we don't want to fully neglect them. But that's what a building phase is for. I'm currently going into a building phase myself. So my coach will look at my body now. I've dropped, like, you know, a significant amount of body fat. And he will probably say, okay, we need more growth on the quads, maybe, you know, your glutes, etc. And then you go into a building phase for about 3 to 4 months. And that's where you'll grow your glutes, okay? So you'll put on maybe a couple of pounds of body fat, but it's inevitable if you're in a surplus, okay? It is. But if you do it right and with a coach and in a controlled manner, you are going to put on more muscle mass than fat mass, okay? But if you're just eating whatever you like, going back to eating takeaways, you know, cakes, donuts, oh well, I can eat more food, so you know, this doesn't matter. It does matter. You're basically eating the same type of food that you were in a calorie deficit, just more of it, okay? And you might have an extra bit of room for a chocolate bar daily, or you know, maybe a second one. Well, that's each to their own, but I'm not saying I do that. Maybe I do. But yeah, constantly being in a calorie deficit, you're not going to grow anything. So you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, okay? So, you know, 3 to 4 months of a building period, maybe longer, some people do. But if you want to grow like your glutes or, you know, your legs and stuff like that, you have to get comfortable eating more food, unfortunately, because you're not going to grow them in a calorie deficit. If you are a beginner, you'll grow some muscle tissue because it's a new stimulus. But if you are experienced, you need to get comfortable with eating more, okay? And then one of my final points is, what if you're building muscle, should you do cardio? So low intensity cardio is something that you would do in a fat loss phase to kind of like move things a little bit quicker. So I was doing 50 minutes a day for 7 days a week, okay? And that was like for like 3 months. It was torture, but look, it helped things move along. But if you are in a building phase, you would probably do minimal amount of cardio. So say like 10 to 15 minutes a day, and that's purely just to keep you fit. Okay, and you'll still do your steps obviously as well, and that's just to be active. But you want to minimize expending energy, okay? Because you're trying to take in an awful lot more food, and you need that food to use as fuel to grow your muscle. So what use is it eating all that food if you're going to be going out and doing like a run every day of the week and, you know, going to CrossFit classes? Like, don't expect to build muscle carrying on like that, okay? You need to just focus on one or the other. And then if you're losing body fat, yes, you would probably expend more energy now and take in less food. So you want to build muscle, you want to move less, eat more. And then if you want to lose body fat, eat less, move more, all right? So you can maintain muscle in a calorie deficit. So a lot of people would say, oh, well, what's the point of still going to the gym and lifting weights if you're in a calorie deficit? You can still maintain your muscle lifting weights and, you know, build maybe a small amount of tissue, but nothing compared to like eating at maintenance calories or being in a surplus, because that's where the extra food comes in, all right? In a calorie deficit, you're not taking in extra food, but we still go to the gym to maintain our muscle, because if we didn't, we'd lose it, and we're after working so hard to build it, why would we do that, all right? So what I would say is, all in all, it is personal preference, and, you know, designing a program, I would always recommend trying to get a coach if you can afford one, because they will know best. But there are just a few points to consider if you've taken anything from it. What I would say is, obviously, just focus on how much time have you got available to train, and then start from there. Because don't start off a building phase thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to train 5 days a week, and then 2 weeks in, you're like, well, I can only do three, because that's just not sustainable, okay? So what I would, you know, even just Googling like a generic, you know, 3 day split, if you can train 3 days, it's somewhere to start. But if you wanted to design your own program, like, it is each their own, and I'd probably be here for hours if I was to try like explain a different program for each individual, because everyone has a different lifestyle. But what I'd say is, focus on the basics, okay? Google compound movements, all right? What muscle group do they work? And then focus on which area do you want to grow on, and then obviously you want to consider other parts of your body as well. So if legs are important to you and you can train 3 days a week, then like I said, you could do upper, lower, lower. All right, that could be your 3 day. And if you wanted to focus on upper, if you wanted to grow your upper body, you could do upper, upper, lower. So if you wanted to do it like that, and then if it was to be 4 days, you could do a full body, and then, you know, posterior, push, posterior, push, and then lower. So posterior is obviously our back, because it's like another version of posture, but that's the way you could do it. So again, it's down to personal preference, but honestly, lads, when I started out doing this, YouTube and Google helped me massively, but obviously hiring a coach is always going to have that extra edge. But I hope this has kind of ironed out any kind of like questions you may have had that you were just unsure of, or, you know, curious about. I hope that I've ironed them out. And if you do have any questions about building your own program, send a message my way. Obviously, I can't build you a program unless you're a client, but I can point you in the right direction. But yeah, I hope that's helped. I'm sorry, this one is short and sweet, but again, I'm on holiday. Well, not on holiday, I'm on a fitness retreat, but it's really good. It's great. It's Titan Fitness in Algarve, Portugal, and I'm here with Sarah Carson. She's also a coach on Instagram, and there's 17 of us here. It's great meeting like-minded women, and we're all having the crack, all, you know, goal focused with exercise, and yeah, building a better us. So I will be back next week, and I hope this has helped you. Tune into the next one.